Eighth principle. Men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. The founders did not believe that the basic rights of mankind originated from any social compact, king, emperor, or governmental authority. Those rights, they believed, came directly and exclusively from God. Therefore, they were to be maintained sacred and inviolate. John Locke said it this way, quote, "The state of nature has a law of nature to govern it, which teaches all mankind who will but consult it, that being all equal and independent, no one ought to harm another in his life, health, liberty, or possessions. For men, being all the workmanship of one omnipotent and infinitely wise Maker, all the servants of one sovereign Master, sent into the world by His order and about His business, they are His property. And being furnished with like faculties, sharing all in one community of nature, there cannot be supposed any such subordination among us that may authorize us to destroy one another." End of quote. When is a right unalienable? The substantive nature of those rights which are inherent in all mankind was described by William Blackstone in his Commentaries on the Laws of England. Quote, "Those rights, then, which God and nature have established, and are therefore called natural rights, such as are life and liberty, need not the aid of human laws to be more effectually invested in every man than they are. Neither do they receive any additional strength when declared by the municipal laws to be inviolable. On the contrary, no human legislature has power to abridge or destroy them, unless the owner shall himself commit some act that amounts to a forfeiture." End of quote. In other words, we may do something ourselves to forfeit the inalienable right endowed by the Creator, but no one else can take those rights from us without being subject to God's justice. This is what makes certain rights unalienable. They are inherent rights given to us by the Creator. That is why they are called natural rights. We also have certain other rights called vested rights, which are created by the community, state, or nation for our protection and well-being. However, these can be changed any time the lawmakers feel like it. An example of a vested right would be the right to go hunting during certain seasons, or the right to travel on a public highway. Notice that the government can change both of these rights or prohibit them altogether. The region could be declared off limits for hunting. The highway could be closed. But the government could not pass a law to destroy all babies under the age of 2, or lock up everybody with blonde hair. In one case, it would be destroying the inalienable right to life, and in the other case, it would be destroying the inalienable right to liberty. A person can lose his liberty through his own misbehavior, but not because he has blonde hair. The founders did not list all the inalienable rights. When the founders adopted the Declaration of Independence, they emphasized in phrases very similar to those of Blackstone that God has endowed all mankind with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let us identify some of the inalienable or natural rights which the founders knew existed but did not enumerate in the Declaration of Independence. The right of self-government. The right to bear arms for self-defense. The right to own, develop, and dispose of property. The right to make personal choices. The right of free conscience. The right to choose a profession. The right to choose a mate. The right to beget one's kind. The right to assemble. The right to petition. the right to free speech, the right to a free press, the right to enjoy the fruits of one's labors, the right to improve one's positions through barter and sale, the right to contrive and invent, the right to explore the natural resources of the earth, the right to privacy, the right to provide personal security, the right to provide nature's necessities, air, food, water, clothing, and shelter, the right to a fair trial, the right of free association, the right to contract. Many founders used similar language emphasizing inalienable rights. It was very common among the founders to express their sentiments concerning man's inalienable rights in almost the same language as Jefferson. Here are the words of the Virginia Declaration of Rights, adopted by the Virginia Assembly June 12, 1776, before the Declaration of Independence. Quote, "All men are by nature equally free and independent, and have certain inherent rights, of which, when they enter into a state of society, they cannot, by any compact, deprive or divest their posterity, namely, the enjoyment of life and liberty, with the means of acquiring and possessing property, and pursuing and obtaining happiness and safety." End of quote. Notice that the words of the Declaration of Independence are very similar when it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Property rights essential to the pursuit of happiness. Some scholars have wondered just what Jefferson meant by the pursuit of happiness, but the meaning of this phrase was well understood when it was written. Perhaps John Adams said it even more clearly, quote, "All men are born free and independent, and have certain natural, essential, and inalienable rights, among which may be reckoned the right of enjoying and defending their lives and liberties, that of acquiring, possessing, and protecting property, in fine, that of seeking and obtaining their safety and happiness." End of quote. Three great natural rights. Of course, the concept of inalienable rights was by no means exclusive to the American founders. It was well understood by English defenders of the common law. 11 years before the Declaration of Independence, Sir William Blackstone had written this concerning the natural rights of man. Quote, "And these great natural rights may be reduced to three principal or primary articles: the right of personal security, the right of personal liberty, and the right of private property, because, as there is no other known method of compulsion or of abridging man's natural free will, but by an infringement or diminution of one or other of these important rights, the preservation of these, inviolate, may justly be said to include the preservation of our civil immunities in their largest and most extensive sense." End of quote. State Constitutions. The protection of these rights was later carried over into the constitutions of the various states. Here is how the Constitution of Pennsylvania stated it. Quote, "Article 1, Section 1. All men are born equally free and independent, and have certain inherent and indefeasible rights, among which are those of enjoying and defending life and liberty, of acquiring, possessing, and protecting property and reputation, and of pursuing their own happiness." End of quote. All rights founded in the protection of life. Over a century ago, Frederick Bastiat, who was trying to preserve freedom in France, wrote that man's inalienable rights are actually those which relate to life itself, and that the preservation of those rights is primarily a matter of self-preservation. He wrote, quote, "We hold from God the gift which includes all others. The gift is life, physical, intellectual, and moral life. But life cannot maintain itself alone. The Creator of life has entrusted us with the responsibility of preserving, developing, and perfecting it. In order that we may accomplish this, He has provided us with a collection of marvelous faculties, and He has put us in the midst of a variety of natural resources. By the application of our faculties to these natural resources, we convert them into products and use them. The process is necessary in order that life may run its appointed course." Life, faculties, production. In other words, individuality, liberty, property. This is man. And in spite of the cunning of artful political leaders, these three gifts from God precede all human legislation and are superior to it. Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws for the protection of them in the first place. End of quote. But on what basis are the inalienable rights of mankind to be protected? This brings us to the principle which is a corollary to the one we have just discussed.